woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him. I found my mind.
Lord, don't face Dr. Jack's halftime hour. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Jack Silver on his last day. Hopefully we'll see him back on holidays or something. A pleasure to have Jack. Wish you luck. All A's, bud, because you've been with us. You should know all this stuff. We also have Mr. Are you taking economics?
I don't know if I'm taking economics, but I'm taking some business courses.
All right. Well, good for you. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Kevin, how are you? 2 days in a row?
Suddenly 2 days in a row. Heads will explode or people will be aglow in the overdose of wisdom.
Well,
you take your pick.
We have Lou pushed off till tomorrow because he is in Europe and he was busy this afternoon in Italy. I think he's in Italy, but tomorrow he says he will be calling in. So we'll get our Lou fix tomorrow and find out what's going on, other people's view of kind of what's happening. And boy, Kevin, it's a, I don't know when I've seen such a more mishmash of people with various and sundry opinions and an awful lot of stuff. And a policy, to me, is it almost at a very, I won't say dangerous, because I don't think it's dangerous necessarily. I hope it isn't. I think people are, well, let's put it this way. A couple of things I wanted to mention early is in regards to what the Fed should be doing here. It probably was running 2-6. Two people, we've seen this happen before in our lifetime, I think, where you just sort of have to do something. Like after 9/11, we invaded Iraq. And one guy on TV.
No, we didn't. We invaded Afghanistan.
Well, but then eventually we.
Eventually we.
Yeah, we invaded Iraq. And then the guy said, well, you know, somebody
but
has.
The have to do something
yes.
reaction was.
You have to do something.
Afghanistan.
We did something there right away. And then we went to Iraq afterward. And it wasn't all that long, by the way. And one guy on TV said, well, we need to kick somebody's ass and they just happened to be in the way. You know, I mean, so. But there were a couple of.
I don't think that's what happened. Rightfully or wrongfully, I think it's kind of proven to be wrongfully. There was a feeling that the United States needed to be less reliant on the Saudis, and we did wind up closing a ton of bases there, and needed another sort of an outpost or a place for operations in the Middle East for staging the war with Al Qaeda. And so Iraq was it. I do believe they knowingly oversold weapons of mass destruction because that would make it popular. And in fact, when the invasion happened, it had widespread public support. It lost it. It didn't take long to lose it, but there was widespread public support at the time. And, you know, we sort of know the rest of the story there.
Yeah, well, anyway, yesterday people were talking about the Fed's role in all this, meaning everything that's happening worldwide, and then the currency wars and what other people are doing, driving things negative. And I listened to David Faber on CNBC, and I always thought he's pretty darn bright. But he kept asking the question of the other people on the panel he was on, why do people invest in government bonds where at the end of 10 years you're going to get less than you paid? He goes, what is the logic to that? What, how do you find buyers? And the other people on the panel kept talking about these esoteric economic pieces of BS. Well, you know, clearly you're concerned about inflation, you're concerned about this, you're concerned. None of the answers made any sense, Kevin. And not one person said the reason why you buy them because you know the government is stupid enough to pay more. There's no buyer at that price except a government. I mean, the answer is so simple, and there's four pretty darn bright people there coming up with all these esoteric reasons why somebody would do that. You do it because you think you're going to sell it to the government 5 seconds later, a bank. No, I don't think, and no individual, I don't think that there's a man, I mean, there's a lot of people in the world that, you know, whose skill sets maybe aren't as good as some other people's, but nobody's dumb enough to, unless it's your kid or something, to give them $100 knowing you're only going to get back 90. Am I wrong here or what?
Why do you think you get the answers that we get?
I don't know, Kevin. I honestly don't know why.
Because if we don't think they're stupid, then, you know, then what else is going on there?
I think a bank is going to go buy these bonds at 105 or something. That puts them in a negative interest rate, knowing that the Draghi's going to call them up the next day and say we'll pay 106. What else could it be? If the central bank said,
okay, but I get that. Why do people answer with why do people give other answers?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And yesterday it reminded me so much of the mentality of the Iraq war. They had a few people on that were talking about what the Fed should do and so forth. And they had a couple older guys on, not that age was any different. And the one guy says, you know, we have rates that are low enough, an economy that's doing well enough, that there's no reason to drop below 2%, because there's never been any hint of there not being enough liquidity in the system for people to get loans. That clearly getting a loan, availability of funds is not a part of the problem anywhere. He goes, and we have other places that are doing this, he goes, predominantly Germany and Japan. And he goes, if you look at the track record there, by no stretch has it worked. So it's not like their economies are booming because they did this. Japan has been nowhere in all the years they've done it. He goes, their problems are demographic. They have other issues. But the fact is, this has not been a panacea. And they keep buying stuff. They keep buying stock. They keep buying everything. And the fact is, the economy's going nowhere. Same way in Europe, it's going down a rat hole. So what is... And then they have three other people arguing with them. We got to do something. We can't let these other central banks act and do things and us not do them. And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, do you go poop on the floor because somebody else? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean,
didn't these people not listen to their mothers that says if somebody else is going to jump off jump in the lake, do you have to as well?
Yeah, I mean,
mom taught me that one when I was like 6 years old,
but it really is. Where is the massive amount of data that says this does something? We're not talking about, you know, maybe when you have a, you know, some kind of crisis happens and some bank goes under and you need to pour money into the system for a couple of months. I mean, I would be probably for it then as well. But no, they're just it's they're doing it. We our Fed can't be the only one. Because now that we know, because they're doing this stuff, it like must be working. But where's the evidence that it's working? I don't think, I mean, and then we had people, after that there was another panel, and all they did was talk about that the Fed cannot go it alone because they've gotten no help from fiscal policy and no help from Congress, and it's time for Congress to do their share. Kevin, we're $20 trillion in the hole. How much more do you want?
How much more share do we want?
Yeah,
that's crazy. And in fact, Congress did the share. I mean, if you remember going back to, oh my goodness, this was before the government shutdown. It was the budget that we um, that we signed that got a lot more money for the military,
yep.
and the trade-off was it got a lot more money for everything else. I think we took like a 6% spending hike in that bill. That was maybe early 2017?
Yeah, it was maybe Trump's first 6 months.
Yeah, probably. You know, that was the one where Trump vowed not to ever sign anything like that again.
Yeah, remember he's had a couple more things.
Signed something like that again, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, this year we're going to have $1 trillion. I mean, what do we... I think that you and I, or whoever is on the show, or anybody who's on the other show, could sit there and say, I could have spent this money more wisely, in the sense that instead of, I guess you could say, it's if I could have cut back on pensions by 10% and used that money for, you know, three bridges that increase the commerce in those areas, it might have been more wisely spent. But the fact is, $1 trillion a year is pretty damn expansionary. You know, in the last few years, it's been a little less than that, but 650, 750 is still pretty darn good. And this year's probably going to be $1 trillion. So if you count from 2009, we've been, what, $1 trillion a year? I mean, it's not like Congress hasn't helped. So why do people say that? God, Congress hasn't done squat. They may have not done squat. That part maybe I'll agree with. But it's not like there isn't some Keynesian push here. Right? It's not like they're running a surplus every year. Yet people talk about it like they do. Like they are. I think if you're just a regular person and isn't stuck in front of the TV doing this all day for clients like me, the disinformation you're getting is spectacular, Kevin. I don't. Why? And why? And these are supposedly our business stations where these people are supposed to know something. But they all have their agenda.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Tom. It's totally disheartening. Forget from the political side, specifically and just broaden it. Media in our lifetime has gone from being the watchdog to just being a letdown.
Well, it's gone from being news to being entertainment. Ratings.
Yeah, understood.
I mean, if you're a 24-hour news show, you're not Walter Cronkite at the end. I mean, you could make nobody would today. I mean, it's in today's world, but you could make an argument when you had three networks and stuff 40 years ago that, you know, 1 hour a day, you're gonna pull out for news. And maybe, in fact, you know, your charter with the broadcasting people required you to do something like that, although they always had commercials in them. But you could say, look, Walter Cronkite's going to just give the news for an hour. Now, granted, your rating game might be, would hope his hour is better than the guy who was on Channel 5. I can't remember who he was, but he was a good guy, too. All the three networks had a pretty good evening news. But now, when you start talking 24 hours, it's ratings. I mean, if it bleeds, it leads. And if that's why you can get five of the best guests on Earth, and they all start talking. You never let them tell a true story, and you pull them off because you need that same topic to go all day. And if it was radio and you let somebody explain it for 30 minutes, some economist actually get in there and talk about what Keynes is, you don't want that because it kills the rest of your day. Right? You want three-word answers and have it keep going.
Well, or you do that one interview and then you spend the rest of the day with the soundbite version of it.
Well, you do that too.
All of the soundbites out of it. But either way, you're not living up to the responsibility. Now, I don't mean to say that news never had a bias. I'm sure it did in those days as well, that there may have been some built-in bias to it, but that's not really the point. There also was some notion of responsibility, of responsibility to the public to get the news right and to get the stories right. And that's, to me, that's where the letdown is, it is all about... telling a story, telling my side of the story.
I would say that the bias in those days, it's why it was such a dramatic shock. I mean, I remember watching the news, you know, as a kid, when it was a half hour, actually. But my news day started when I got to be 17, Vietnam, jungle, gun, me, maybe. You know, you took a very... incredible look at the news, Kevin, every night. You remember that. You're a little younger than that, but I'm sure Tim and the rest of the gang, it was clearly our age group, and worse, the people
That was the first year they didn't draft, so you know, I was totally totally following it.
And but I mean,
that was not a certainty when I was a teenager,
right? Well, when and but I mean, if I can remember the chronology here, my guess was that they seriously acted on the side of government, army. It was still a World War II mentality. You know, you didn't publish. I mean, some of the stuff I've read, you know, since I've been on the show and since I love looking at this stuff. I mean, I'm going to think in today's age, Kevin, if the practice run for D-Day, the amount of people that got lost in the practice run by a total screw-up, mostly Eisenhower's doing, by using live ammunition, in today's world, that man would never have commanded the actual invasion. But
yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, but he was. I mean, I'm not nothing bad to say about Ike. I think he was. You know, bad stuff happens in war, and that's why they call it war. But they, you know, he basically ran.
Yeah, what is it good for?
Yeah, what? You know, yeah, right. It says the song would say. And but I mean, so I think they always acted on the part to when they saw horrible mistakes. That's why it was such an amazing. You imagine today, Walter Cronkite. Other than maybe tone of voice or eyebrows or something, never really gave what today would be what I do all the time, editorial opinion in the middle of news. You know, but I get to do that on a radio show. But I would be very I would have to absolutely.
Well, because it's not a news show, Tom,
yeah.
And that's one of the issues. I think you're right that you're identifying is that there is no difference anymore between news and opinion.
But if somebody put me on the, when I go on somebody else's show, I talk totally differently. I'll say, here's the answer to the question. Now, my opinion on that is this. I absolutely separate them because I'm counseled by you, and I know that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, if I was doing a 6 o'clock news, I would not. Although here's that would what would trouble me is if I read one story and then read story two. Realize there were a connection and didn't make the connection because you see that all the time and that's almost disingenuous, in my opinion. But anyway, when Walter Cronkite visited Vietnam and he came back and he got done with some report on Vietnam and he said, you know, I was just there. We cannot win this war. We're losing. That was one of the biggest shocks I think this country ever got from the news because he'd never done it before. And he felt so strongly about his trip over there, how basically it was a circle bleep, that he came back and said, we can't win this thing. We're not going anywhere. When he said that, all the tone changed countrywide. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, I do remember it.
And but if you did it every day and everything you said was, you know, I mean, if he would have said that as a guy on Fox or MSNBC, you know what? It'd be like a peeing in a lake, right? Just another opinion. But it wasn't coming from him because he had never done it before, and he felt like this time the world deserved it, and he was right, in my opinion. So I mean,
but was there ever any doubt that was his opinion? So, you know, my problem. There's several ways that media can be biased. You know, the obvious one is, you know, I'm a conservative, or I'm a liberal, or I affiliate with a party. And so I am only going to tell you my side of the story. Okay, I get that, but at least I understand it and I know what I'm consuming. The two that I don't know I'm consuming is when news is interpreted without identifying as an interpretation, that it's, you know, it's a version of the news. And the other one is the stuff that doesn't get reported, you know, they choose to ignore. And, you know, those kinds of bias are the news, our news reporting not living up to its responsibility.
I'm going to say that
whether you consider that it's market responsibility or it's legal responsibility, you know, there's the over-the-air version where you have to have a certain amount of public interest in mind. But I don't care. Either way, I think, you know, you owe it to people to delineate between opinion and news, and then you owe it to people to report the whole, you know, all sides of a story. If you don't, I wish people wouldn't watch, you know, because I think it's really, really, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to going, you know, I know what I'm getting when Rachel Maddow's on TV. There's no hidden agenda there. Her agenda is very clear. Same thing. I know what I'm getting when Sean Hannity is on TV. I don't watch either one of them, frankly, but I know what they're doing, and I don't have a problem with that.
I've never watched either one of them. If they walked by me in the street, I wouldn't recognize them. Just not my
I recognize either one, I think.
Because everyone, when she did the debate, the first thing I said to the guy next to me was, "Who is she?" It's Rachel Maddow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you've ever, you know, look in on her show just because, you know, just to do it so that you know who she is and what she is, because, you know, she'll crop up in the news every once in a while and something on her show will. So it's worth it to have that much understanding, but I can't take it on a night in, night out basis for anybody here.
Well, you know, you get, I think with the Walter Cronkite thing, I suspect since he was at the fulcrum of the news, Kevin, that the station in those days probably had somewhat of a support the troops support, you know, and we had enough revolution going on here against the war. They probably didn't feel it was their place to make it even worse. And they supported, you know, basically government. And I think Walter Cronkite probably saw more news than we ever did. And he had probably a feeling that all was not going well. But when he actually went over there and saw it, he goes, "I gotta say something. It's way worse than I even thought." As I think the way that came down, but I don't know for sure. He's dead. I can't ask him. It basically confirmed everything he probably already thought he knew, like you're saying, at least in his mind. But you know, it is interesting. They have you know, I guess we got to talk a little bit about the politics of it. As the market was way down yesterday, they had some new old white guy piling out of the White House. He's some economic guy, and he starts talking about if the American people only realized how much better we are with Trump doing this in China than if Hillary Clinton was in office, because she would be doing these five things and rattling off, kowtowing to him, knuckling under to him. You know, the typical, you know, the real he-man Trump supporter guy that Hillary would have been, everybody would have been. You know, she's a, you know, I don't want to say any bad words on the radio, but, you know, she would just be a big weenie. She wouldn't had no backbone, and now we got this guy in here who's fighting for us. I'm thinking, God, it's 3 years into the guy's thing. Are we still trying to say how Hillary would have done it differently and worse? I mean, it's way in for that. When I heard the word Hillary, I'm going, wait a minute. I thought she was banished to the hinterlands or someplace. And
She pops her head up every once in a while. Now it turns out she and Chelsea are going to write a book. So that may be part of why is that you know, she's been in the news this week.
Oh, all right. Well,
can't wait for that book, by the way.
Oh no, I can't either. But there was an article here last night by Kevin Brenninger and John Schoenhal. It is, you know, you see people doing that, and you say, God, is this really ignorant? How can anybody? And then I go home and I'm doing research for the show this morning, and I get this article here about how the farmers still strongly support Trump, despite half of them going out of business. Even with these tariffs, when people not, I mean, he is a genius. I keep reminding people. The reason why he voted for me was not necessarily for me, was because of this, whatever she was, this creature from another world that could have got in, and how much better I would be, no matter how bad I'm bleeping up, I'm still way better than her. And people fall right in line on that, Kevin. And there's gotta be some place somewhere where some 110-year-old German guy is gonna sit there and tell you, maybe I should have voted for the communist after all in 1932. I mean, maybe that's the difference between me and other people, because as a trader, you look into yourself in the eye and you go, you've been short 3 days, you big dummy, the market's up. You better turn your butt around, or else you're not going to be here tomorrow. I mean, you're used to making mistakes, and you're used to learning by them and saying, hey, I screwed up, I'm going to do better tomorrow. Do people ever admit, what would have to happen for somebody to say, I mean, Hillary was such a horrible choice that it really is hard to say I would rather have voted for her. I would not have said that ever. But still, at some point, people got to say, this isn't going so hot, if you're a farmer, for sure. Anyway, let's talk about it after the break. SP Futures still, I'll give you the whole report when we get back. SP Futures are up 650. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. This is Matt Weber, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P Futures up 750. That futures up 34 and a quarter. Dow futures up 20. We've got oil up 88 cents today, finally making a little bit of a bounce. 51.90 when we started the week at like 53 or 54. A 10-year 1.71, but I think we got under 1.6 yesterday. So it was a huge bounce back in the 10-year as well as in the market yesterday. Very interesting day. DAX up 74.6%. FTSE up 8, call that flat. Acron up 54, that's a full 1%. Over in Asia, Nikkei, these guys are coming back, boy, not like they were down. Nikkei is up 76.4%. Shanghai up 25.9%. Are still under 2,800 at 2,794. Hang Seng up 123, but still 26,120. We've been talking about those guys at over 30, like not that long ago. Like I said, we have oil up 88 cents, Brent up 61. That spread is now actually under $6. It's $5.90. We've never seen it that low. Natural gas up 3 cents to 11. RBOB 163. I've built the Suburban today. I've heard there's places out south to 275. That's not so bad. Gold is down $10, 1509, still over 1500. Silver down 14 cents, still 1705. Never thought I'd see that. Eddie, what do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. The Sports Weather Traffic Update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription by visiting luckboxmagazine.com/jocks and registering for free. No credit card necessary. No strings attached. Just sign up, enter your email address, and get a free digital subscription. Can't miss there.
Wait a minute. We're not going to get the credit card. We're not going to steal Social Security number and stuff?
None of that stuff. Just put in the name, the email.
Well, what's the point?
Register for free. I know. It's a lot of these sort of gimmicky things where they say it's free, but you have to put a credit card in, and then after your free trial period runs up, they start charging your credit card.
Right.
This is not one of those. No credit card necessary. Just get a free digital subscription, luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Off to a good start on the area expressways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, but no accidents to report. Southside expressways are looking good. Only a significant crash in the area is on Lakeshore Drive. Northbound side at the Oak Street curve, there's a crash blocking the right lane, and this is causing some delays right around downtown and on the Gold Coast as you're heading northbound on Lakeshore Drive, so keep that in mind. Off the expressways at northern suburbs, Route 83 at Diamond Lake Road, there is a crash. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, another sunny, gorgeous day for August, and we've continued a long string of nice, sunny, dry days. Going up to a high of 86 today, so slightly cooler than yesterday, but still warm. Right now it's crystal clear and 72 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 107 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 85. In sports, Cubs wrap up a 5-1 homestand, blowing out the Athletics yesterday at Wrigley. 10-1 was the final. Jose Quintana earned the win. He's been red hot, won six starts, or is 6-0 in his last seven starts as he continues to roll. Ian Happ hit a grand slam. He's been red hot since the Cubs called him up from the minor leagues. But they head out to the road beginning this evening in Cincinnati, where they've struggled mightily, so hoping to turn that around. 6 o'clock first pitch Chicago time in Cincinnati. By the way, the Cubs claim veteran catcher and former All-Star Jonathan Lucroy, who was put on waivers by the Angels. So the Cubs addressing their catcher depth with Wilson Contreras out for 4 weeks by adding Jonathan Lucroy. Didn't have a great season, which is why he was released. But has a great track record, and they're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle here for the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season. The White Sox won 3 of 4 in Detroit. They blew out the Tigers 8-1 last night. Diamondbacks, 1.5 game out in the wild card race in the NL, took care of the Phillies 6-1, so they're right in the thick of it as well. Lastly, the Bears begin their preseason schedule tonight at Soldier Field. The Carolina Panthers come to town. That's a 7 p.m. Central Time kickoff. Chief.
Shades of excitement. Just saying. You
know. Well, Nagy basically said he's not going to play anybody good during the preseason. So, I mean, I don't think Mitch is going to play at all.
No.
I mean, at least that's what he's kind of alluded to.
He'll play the third game probably.
Yeah, typically, you know, maybe you don't play the first game, then the second game you play a series or two, and then the third game you play like the first half, and then the fourth game they rest. From what I've been reading, it's almost like he's not going to play the preseason at all. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's I don't know. There's enough football. These guys practicing damn near all year, so.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a head coach, I would strongly consider, you play your young guys and your guys battling for roster spots, but your veteran guys, especially the skill guys, running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, very valuable defensive players like Khalil Mack and stuff like that, I don't think I'm really playing those guys in preseason
games.
Well,
there's a fine line between not playing them and then all of a sudden the first time they hit for real is when everything really counts, and you have five people hurt in the first game. So
yeah,
I don't know what the fine line is.
I don't know.
And I understand that, Tom, but the other side of it is that you're not hitting in practice, and so if you're ever going to get a decent look at the guys vying for the last four or five roster spots, you're going to get it in the games.
Right.
So you need to give that as much time to that as you can.
But I just mean, you know, Dr. J used to say you got to get used to hitting. And he says, and if you only have 11 practices and then pads, and then you don't play the preseason game, the first time you actually whack somebody for real, you almost don't want it in the first game. I mean, I guess
I can see that too. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. I mean, they used to have scrimmages where guys would come from other teams and you'd like scrimmage and practice just to get the hang of it there.
They do that. They still do that.
They still do that.
All right.
But I don't think they're allowed to hit quarterbacks or anything like that.
No. Kevin, 50th anniversary of what unusually disgusting event today?
Let me see. 50. So what year would that be? Do the math for me.
1969.
The Cubs began their fold.
Maddie played a song. I'll give you a clip.
I got to find it.
I'll give you a hint. Helter Skelter.
Oh, the Tate, LoBianco murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name? Manson.
Yep. And, here's an example of not following the right leader. The first thing Manson said is he didn't kill any of those people. It was all the five people who were with him. If it was all his idea, he said, I didn't kill
them. Well, and you know what? And I think we still haven't punished them enough. They were clearly triggered by the Beatles, so.
Yeah.
we got to round those guys up and play that.
Oh, the two of them that are left, yeah. Yeah, it's a.
Plus, that whole Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey thing, we haven't punished Paul enough for that either.
No. Anybody who has any kind of a revolutionary song type of thing, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Kevin, I think, Carl, then some of the guests we have, I think we've had a policy worldwide, and I don't expect everybody to, every time somebody says something, immediately dislike somebody you voted for or something like that. But I just wish that somehow maybe we had some kind of a podium where yesterday morning we had three countries essentially lower their funds rate, for lack of a better term. And you've got two of our biggest allies that are negative. Now, one of the reasons why you do that is so your currency weakens, which means that you become, it's essentially manipulating your currency. And we have a president, and he's not the first, so by no stretch, who says the Fed needs to act more aggressively because our dollar is too high. Now, it's come down from that, once he said that, somewhat. I don't think it's any part of what he said, but, and yet the next day we accuse somebody we don't like of being a currency manipulator. And I'm not about to say that they're not, but God, join the club. And they had, Tim Lu? Of course, you know, they were all over him on CNBC because they're all conservative and he's not. But he says this is a worldwide problem. He says, if you're worried about this, you don't just single somebody out or you don't just have your Fed do what they're doing. He says you need to get together and talk. Hey, look, if you do this, everybody else can have to follow you. And if everybody else follows you, you didn't get anywhere. So let's just not do it. Because there needs to be communication with all these people, because otherwise it's just like in the mercantile area back in the 1600s. If you devalue your currency versus the gold, the next guy's going to do it. And there were times even then where people had to get on a boat and say, oh, all right, this isn't getting us anywhere, let's stop it. I mean, we're at one of those stages again, Kevin, and yet we have a population that loves to point fingers. And I'm not saying you should get up every morning and not believe your elected officials, but I'm getting there. I mean, when Trump accuses somebody of doing something, I immediately think it's wrong. That either he's lying to me, and usually he is. Now, whether he's doing it because he doesn't understand that this is all connected more than it is, and it's hard to pinpoint one person as being. I mean, who's the first person that lowered their rates? It had to be Japan, right? They're the first guys that went negative, and then the Germans are below them now. I mean, it absolutely is a beggar by neighbor approach that's been around for 500 years. But it's not new, and the only solution ever is for everybody to get together and say, look it, if we all do it, it's a zero-sum game. We're not getting anywhere. And communication among all the allies, to me, is what's lagging here or missing or something.
Well, what are they discussing a G8 and G20 and those kinds of gatherings.
Well, evidently, we need another one tomorrow.
Apparently not that, right?
Well, I think we need another one this weekend, whether it's scheduled or not. Because look what happened in the last week. Between us lowering our rates and now three other firms, three other countries yesterday, now Germany is down to what? I'll kick up their number. Where are they? They got to be minus 0.5 or more. I mean, for God's sake, where we Bund is minus 0.578. I mean, obviously they've thrown some more money at the thing, and they actually had some guy on yesterday talking about we absolutely have to explore buying assets, QE3, and maybe even buying stock. Kevin, why? I mean, where is the this does remind me so much of bleeding. We didn't bleed them enough. Bleed them some more. Anyway,
I'm just a wild guess. I find it hard to believe that we're not having any conversations.
I find it hard to believe too. But
so I just don't know what they are. And frankly, again, if you get to where media lets us down, it doesn't fit well into a soundbite. But if we could sort of frame what's going on economically and then pursue what those kind of back channel discussions are, because that we managed to get everything else leaked. I don't know why we would be able to get information about that and report it. Wouldn't that be like, you know, providing a service to the,
well,
the country?
Would anybody think for a second, Kevin, if here we are, August, whatever, if in the end of September the world looked like Germany's minus 1%, we're at zero, which is really not even zero because, you know, banks are charging people for all kinds of stuff, so they're really already negative anyway for our savers. And we're buying stock and we're buying, assets. I mean, does anybody think that's a sustainable world? There actually were a couple people on this panel yesterday. Why am I bitching about this panel so much? Is the one lady, actually I kind of like her, Becky Quick, she goes, well, obviously, it means that corporations can borrow less money, yes. And she says, and other people can borrow less money. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Becky, in that position, you should know that in the last 8 years, credit card rates have gone up, not down. And most people, other than mortgages, which have gone down, they go with the 10-year, and most people, their interest rates, their durability to access this cash, this guy probably gotten worse and not better. I think you should know that before you say something on national TV. Just me. But, you know, it's hard for me to criticize.
Well, I don't know that the ability to access it, it's just the cost of accessing it is what's worse.
Well,
because if you look at the levels of debt, the levels of personal debt, they're up.
Right. At 25% for most people. Well your credit card loans aren't, not credit cards, your student loans aren't 25%, but what are they? 4 or 6, depending if you get it from the government or for somebody private.
Yeah, well, with that, yeah, well, you can't get private loans unless you just want to do a standard loan. There is no such thing as a private student loan anymore.
Well, there's ones from what I understand. And again, I could be wrong here. Matter of fact, Jack, feel free to pipe in. I think that if you get one directly from the government, it's like 4, 4.5. Then they'll also guarantee a third-party loan that's higher. So most people get a package of the 4.
I don't
four
think they're doing that anymore.
Okay.
I'm perfectly willing to be corrected if I'm wrong on
well,
that.
Well, I think is we need somebody on to explain it to us, because that's the package, as I understood it, when we had somebody on a year ago that explained it to us, that everybody ends up with this blended rate. So you think now it's one lender?
That's what I think. But, again, I haven't had to worry about that directly for such a long time
What do you say we put that on the agenda for next week?
Not take that as gospel, but that was how I understood it at the time.
Well, why don't we put that on the agenda for next week, since it's $1.6 trillion of dough? It's real money, so we should figure out how all this is working. But anywho, college, all the guys are in camp, eh? Our guys, Beldo was giving a long story last night that we have 85 people on scholarship, didn't have to gray shirt anybody. One guy left, went somewhere else. Everybody who wanted to leave is gone, and everybody's happy. Is that the truth?
Well, I suppose, you know, I have paid, right now is about the, your last sentence is about the most I paid attention to, preseason camp at Notre Dame. So I just find it hard to get too excited about what's going on the first week of practice. Same goes for the Bears and everybody else.
Well, how many $1 billion does the place have to spend on facilities before when they don't have to go somewhere else for camp?
Don't know, but I think to go someplace else isn't a function of facilities. What you're saying is because you have to use it.
Wait, why would you want to use it? Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is to get away. You know, it's a bonding experience and all that. That may be a load of crap, but I think that's what coaches see is that if they can go away for a week or two, then the team has a chance to become as one.
Ah. Didn't we have a movie about that once?
Yeah, remember the Titans? They went away and they did bond.
I was thinking the one with Tom Berenger, the Junkyard Junk Dogs.
Oh, the Junction Boys.
Yeah, how'd that work out? Away from all doctors, away from all all cameras, just beat the crap out of people for 3 weeks, and everybody and half of them quit.
Those who puke and survive and come back will become champions or something like that.
Did you know who was one of those guys that came back? How many guys came back? Like 20 or something? All the rest of them dashed. One of the guys was the first coach of the Bears after, well, there had been other guys where Mahalis had retired before. But back in the late 60s, he was I don't think he's a Hall of Fame linebacker, but he was terrific. From the Rams forever, and then he played like one season for the Bears, and they made him head coach. The hell is his name? Maybe would you mind looking that up? Or every time I always forget the guy's name, but he was one of those guys. And when the movie came out, they interviewed him. They said, "Well, you're one of those like really tough guys that made it through the junction thing." And he goes, "I wasn't that tough." He goes, "It sucked." He goes, "My parents divorced and sold the house while I was there. I had nowhere to go back to."
Yeah, it's you get the Richard Gere in Officer and a Gentleman going, "I got no place else to go."
Yeah, well, pretty much. I think a lot. And he said, "I had nowhere to go. I had to stay here. Otherwise, I'd have left. It was terrible. There was no reason for it," or something along those lines. And so, Kevin, all this week has been the most incredible on an economic front that I've ever seen. By the way, China with the huge comeback yesterday. China has now set their yuan at over 7, which was 2 days ago when we crashed, was the huge fear that it was over 7. But now that they're going to maintain it at the same spot, now it's not a problem. Have you ever seen a week? You're on the show with me, so just put in front of you, front and center, where we've had more incredible. You could write 5 PhD theses on this week. This is serious crap economically that's going on. I mean, if you're an international economist.
Well, economically, politically, current events, I mean, you name it. And I don't know if we have a country and a world on overload and totally unable to absorb this, or if it's remarkable that we're absorbing so much.
One or the other. How do you, we won't know for a while. And then, by the way, did you, I'm still was kind of stunned yesterday with the thing, talking about the amount of shootings in all the places and how many I'd forgotten. It is amazing how your memory. And speaking of the memory, we have people after the market, crashed pretty good for a couple of days here. Still all the talking heads are telling you, don't worry about it. Just the same as the last few times it's a fake like this. It's just a buying opportunity to get in there. And, it's, all these things are different, Kevin. I don't know that at the end of a 10-year policy. I mean, really, we're at the end of a 10-year policy thing where we poured more debt on top of debt. We've run interest rates down to a certain spot, and everybody says this is all new. And yet, I don't know that continually pouring more money in the system than the place can absorb is a strategy for the long run. And I don't understand how come the younger economists. Or maybe the people who didn't have the fortune of going to University of Chicago. To me, it's like when you have 5 people for a party and you got 5 cases of beer, and all of a sudden 10 more people show up, and then somebody shows up with another 10 cases of beer, it's a very serious positive, because now you don't have enough beer for everybody, which is a bad thing. But after 4 hours and two football games, or should I say 8 hours and two football games, and you know people are sleeping in their chair, for somebody to come in the door with another 20 cases and say, let's go, it's like, buddy, you missed the party. I mean, I don't know at this point, when there is no issue with cash anywhere, what you're going to get in Europe by buying up my Suburban. I mean, as a policy issue, I don't see how anybody even thinks that's appropriate. And yet, half the economists I see that have PhDs and are on TV and I'm not, oh man, we got to do something like that. I don't know how do you get there from here? I mean, you're the one who's in academia, but how do you do that?
You don't. And I'll take issue with you saying we're at the end of a 10-year policy. We probably are in the middle of a 20-year policy.
Maybe. Well, it's hard to... we're starting to see...
How's that for a scary thought of the day?
Well, the thing that I'm thinking, and maybe I'm a little more right than you, and maybe it'll be 4 years instead of whatever, is we're starting to see stuff like gold and stuff spike out. That you would, when you get to the end of an expansionary currency policy, you should see stuff like that happening. Now, whether it goes right back down here, and you're right, it's another 10 years, I mean, who knows? But I'm still, I put a lot of people's money to work in the last few days. Because, I mean, well, I have actually get a lot of this, Kevin. I have a few new clients, that when they came over here, they took their accountant at all these different stocks. And he said, you know what? I've ridden these boys as far as I can go. Why don't we just get rid of all of them, or 80% of them, or 75% of them? I like these few. And we did that for, you know, multiple people probably 3 weeks ago. We can talk about the calendar being right, huh? And matter of fact, I think JD sold out a couple of the guys, I'm going to say the Wednesday before this all started. And so every day we've been putting some money back in, protected by puts. And, you know, the price isn't as good. Well, yesterday we got a terrific buy. So average of the 3 or 4 days, we're probably fine. Even though the first couple of days, you know, we actually went down after we bought them. We bought puts too, and the volatility went up. So basically no harm, no foul. But then yesterday we made a spectacular buy. And, if you are all in cash now, should you be putting some money in the market? Because it's down some? Probably. If you were all in stock, should you believe the talking heads that this is yet another buying opportunity and go out on margin and buy more stock? Not at my firm. You know, not here at PTI. You're not doing it. There's always a question of where you are in the cycle. If you were all cash and you were smart enough or lucky enough to get out a month ago, should you be poking some money in here, down 5 or 6 or 7% in the market? Why not? Especially if you protect it a little bit. But are you absolutely sure that this is it? No, nobody is.
Hey, I want to shift gears quickly because we only have a minute left. And that is the hot discussion of the week is the red flag laws. And, I think there's going to be a widespread agreement that this makes sense and that we need to pass them. But this is an area for caution, and a lot of people are going to raise caution, raise the flag on some reasons for caution, and they're going to be called unreasonable
Explain what the red flag is.
The idea that it's who decides and what qualifies as red flag. So when you have somebody like David Frum who tweets out a picture of two kids with guns and says red flag ? Is that really a red flag, or is that a parent who took a picture because he's teaching his kids to use guns responsibly?
Well, so what is the significance of a red flag?
Pardon?
You're not supposed to be able to put that on Twitter or something? I'm missing this whole point.
Well, the whole point is that what one person's going to consider a red flag and a reason to confiscate guns from people, another person might not.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree.
So the devil is going to be in the details. Yes, I mean the Parkland shooter is a great example of somebody where a red flag law, heck, enforcing the existing laws would have prevented the tragedy. But when somebody says that teaching your kids to use guns, well, you know, putting guns in kids' hands is a red flag. We should confiscate. That's a different issue.
I would agree. Kevin, how are we going to do that?
So you're going, the devil is all going to be details here, and anybody who objects to some of the details is going to be called an obstructionist, and I think we have to be careful to pay attention to what's really happening.
Kevin, trying to get
because the definition can get real intrusive about, you know, what we do and don't evaluate with people, and it sort of applies to more than just weapons. So, there is a lot of sense to looking at this, looking at red flag laws, we have to be really, really careful with it.
Trying to find,
because
Kevin,
it's subjective evaluation.
Trying to find when you should take your car keys away from your old man. Trying to find that one. It's the same thing.
That's pretty easy, you know. That's a couple of drinks. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, these things are very difficult issues. Thanks, buddy. SP Futures up 6. NASDAQ Futures up 25. Be right back, Mr. Farihamzi.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTI PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happened.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom O. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Jack Silverman, his last day. S&P futures up 9.25. Now NASDAQ futures up 36. Again, we have the yuan stabilizing, but over 7, which is the highest it's been since 2008. We had Chinese exports unexpectedly rise in July. So crazy stuff happening all over the map here. But so far, right now, we seem to have stabilized and actually on the way up. The big move yesterday was the U.S. 10-year. Got down to 1.6.
Good morning.
Hey, Farry, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm terribly sorry. Last week, I slept through my Thursday morning interview. Didn't get a chance to even call or apologize. Next thing I know, it was like 9:15 when I woke up. I have changed some medication. I have some skin issues because of the psoriasis that was peaking Thursday and Friday. No, I'm sorry, the other way. Wednesday and Thursday. And so... Well, plus we had such a crazy week of trading. I mean, I called this morning or yesterday, actually. And I explained to Jack today I'm going to be on my regular schedule on Thursday. So, how you doing?
Have you ever seen a? I was talking with Kevin about losing it tomorrow because he's in Europe. What was the first song of Gaelic Wars? Gallia est in Europa. Well, Lou is in Europa.
Actually, there was a special, speaking of Jupiter and its moons, there was a special on Nova the other day. It was absolutely very, very exciting.
Well, maybe someday. Won't be us, Farry, but somebody will get there. Maybe Jack.
Jack, there you go. Okay.
Have you ever seen a wilder week and more economic principles being tossed around and you finally are able to find out the people that are talking heads that have never taken an economics class and like to tell you that they have.
That's what I asked the other day on Twitter. I said, I'm on Facebook. I said, where did he learn his Econ 101?
Yeah.
I don't care where he went to school. Did he actually sat there, listened, or was he chasing girls?
Well,
did you see the comments by the four previous Fed chairs that, hey, read the law. Okay, forget everything you didn't learn when you were 20s and 30s, but read the law. You have to stay off, hands off from the Fed.
Well,
all he's trying to do is juice it up because he knows he's in trouble. This all shows an unhinging of a president, worried about his reelection. I will go out there and say the following. The events of past weekend, horrific events, I think that sealed the deal. He's done. I think he lost
the
blacks and the Hispanics, or African-Americans, I should be politically correct, God forbid. Wait a second, you're an atheist, you're not even believing God, so too much quantum physics, right? So, Massacre Mitch and Moscow Mitch are in trouble. This is all grasping for air. They realize that, and I think this probably clinches the deal. Here's the thing. It was his to lose this re-election, and... slowly, we're going to we're entering the slippery slope. Why do I say that? Look at gold.
Yeah,
1511 yesterday, up 37. Well, we went in around 1400. Off. We don't trade gold, but a friend of mine. It wasn't his trade, not even mine. But he analyzed it with me. Da, da, da. I said, you know what? I can't help you. He goes, well, I just want to. I said, are you buying a leverage? He goes, no, outright. I want the coins. So he bought a few boxes here. You know, this is Naples, right? Fourth largest per capita net worth in the country. So they have a few boxes. You know, they on a Tuesday night to save money, they go to the special on the, what do they call it? On the theaters. You know,
yep.
The new movies come out on Tuesdays with a special. I mean, they come on Friday. But the following Tuesday, they're half price. These guys show up with their $500,000 Lambos to take advantage of their discount, okay?
That's where they got the $500,000 Lambo.
Pardon me?
That's why they got the $500,000 Lambo.
Yeah, exactly. And very poor. It's very sad, very sad, but they have to do that. I feel sorry for him. Anyhow, so he was one of those guys. He bought a bunch of gold coins, and he's got two safes in the house and put it there. Boom. At around 1,414, I think his average was 1,405, something in that range.
Never having
month
done
and a half ago, 2 months ago, and we're at 37 yesterday, 1,511.
Never having done it, Fari, and maybe a listener has, but if you say gold straight in at 1,300, where it was not that long ago, you go on and you buy, I guess Krugerrand still made, or you buy cold coins, whatever the hell they are. If you buy those things, and all of a sudden, you know, a month later, gold's 1,500. If you paid $100 for it, do you go back in there? Do you get $1.12, or is the spread so much that we'll give you $1.05? I don't know. I mean, what's the spread like?
I have no idea. As I said, I have some gold coins. My father gave it to me. They're not tradable. I'm not going to sell them. So they're British 1 lira gold coins in Iran. You trusted that essay, okay? Essay. From the British £1 gold coins, and that's like an heirloom. You stay in the family. It's in a safe. I'm not going to touch it. I mean, disaster has to come for me to come and touch it. But so I have no idea. I've never touched bullions. I have a family member who's got bullions, but he's so panicky, and he's actually in his summer house, which I won't mention where it is. He has buried them. Not even his main house, his summer house.
I mean, if you actually, I know the listeners. Boy, one day. I was talking about gold and you know how you would it's a store of value for sure, but it's also not what you can't shave a sliver off for a loaf of bread. I mean, if it was me, if I stubbed my toe in a bar of gold in the backyard that somebody dropped, I'd find a way to get it in the system.
I would think of you, given that how recently you got more sophisticated with digital technology, you would be in Bitcoin by now.
No, I have gold.
With your fancy new phone you got, you can just go and get your pizza using a Bitcoin or two.
I have one app on my phone.
Remember, you have a big appetite. You're a big guy.
Yeah,
you need a big pizza.
I have
a couple of Bitcoins, and you got yourself a Chicago-style pizza, no?
I have one app on my phone, and that's it.
Oh, okay. I'm just joking with you, but no. I think also, listen, the moving gold, you and I have talked about this, nothing new. We agree or we may disagree, but the facts are the same. This moving gold or Bitcoin shows the legacy economy is in peril. People are nervous about their backing of their assets, and they want something a little bit different. All that said, Jerry Powell came out and said, "We will watch Bitcoin too." That means we won't let it do anything at once. So,
well, they had a gentleman in yesterday, and I've seen him before. I should know the names, but I have the TV down because obviously I'm talking to clients, and so I see these people and I hear what they're. I get it on. Whatever.
Wait a second, you got clients?
Got a few.
Even after Monday?
Yeah. Everybody's
happy. Remember 4 years ago?
Everybody's happy. My guys.
And 4 years ago, we had also 1,000 points, except that was at the open. Remember, I was like end of August 2015. I was still coming to your studios for interviews. We had 1,000 point down. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was rather crazy.
I never get any calls.
I mean, pardon me.
Everybody's got. Puts on everything. I never get any calls when it's down.
Yeah, but my point, though, I realize that. That was being facetious. But I'm trying to make a conclusion. These type of events we're in, even including what the last couple of days has done, although predictable, you can use that actually analog from August 2019 for this. I mean, 2015 for this year. You have to time shift it because it was end of a month. But there are going to be a large days back and forth with no clear direction overall. That is, we're up 200 points, we're down 300 points, we're up 400 points. That's going to happen for a few days. Once that happens, then the system historically has said or shown that it's a clear sailing after that to the upside, maybe a month or two later. But the retail client doesn't get that. They panic like crazy, and that's what I see. We have had a bunch of people sign up for market timing all of a sudden. When things get bad, they run to Papa.
Well, I don't see. There's always many different layers of this.
Being bad.
Right, there's always many different layers of this chessboard.
Remember, you and I will look at it differently, but the average guy, they didn't know how to process Monday.
No. Well, but you never know how deep the issue is, Fari. I mean,
no one knows, correct?
Yeah, the overhang of more and more debt. on every country in the world. And now, the guy who said it...
And I have a question for you on that, as you're coming up.
Well, but Tim Liu was on yesterday talking about when people start doing this, and it's not the first time, you start lowering your currency to try and gain advantage. He said you have to sit down in a room and say, if we all do it, we're not getting anywhere. We don't point at people and say this would be done more, and it's Chinese fault. He goes, everybody's in it. He goes, the Germans have done it. The Japanese have done it. We've done it. He goes, now we had three more banks yesterday doing it. If everybody does that, I mean, he goes, it doesn't work. If everybody does it, it's a zero-sum game. That's when you have to have your allies around you and have a bunch of people say, look, we're all stopping this right now.
Yes.
And I don't see it happening.
I think even Kudlow came out early on before, as he was jockeying for the job, or he was being in the interview dance, so to speak, for the National Economic Advisor. He said, this stuff doesn't work. These trade wars. What we have, oh, that's our rooster here, by the way. Give me all systems go signal to the chat rooms. Here's our problem. I submit to you, humbly submit to you that we have two events now. We have trade wars, and we also currency wars are in their infancy. Remember 87, where you start pissing off the Germans?
Yeah.
It was like in May, right? It was about May or April or of 87. Actually, bond market peaked right after that. And then the stock market didn't even peak until last week's over August. It peaked, and then that's all she wrote. And, of course, I was not a trader back then. We didn't have the equipment to be a trader. We were just doing some investing. But I was so panicky post-June, July, that I started actually selling a little bit early, prematurely. I had to apologize to my dad about it. It was his portfolio, not mine. But I think even before the market peaked, we were flat. So early, mid-August, we were flat. And I was involved. I was involved in another project, totally different. I was offsite. I was even getting to my... Back then, you had to go to the library and look at charts, from Daily Graph. Remember Daily Graph and what was the other one? Value Line. You had to get Value Line and the Daily Graph. Some of it I would subscribe, right. Some of it you find in the library, and because otherwise you get your issue late. That was it. There was no electronic transfer. It was a physical transfer. And that was my Saturday mornings. I just couldn't afford it. We start bailing out as it gave up. You sell when they all want it. You buy when nobody wants it. Well, and then my dad comes to me like October, I don't know, 21st, 23rd. He goes, is it time to buy? I said, Dad, please. we bought it really good. 729, silver crash. This is now 7 years later, almost 7 years later. Less than 6.5 years later, we're dumping a lot of this stuff, or maybe less, actually 6 years, about 6 years later, and a couple of months. We start dumping some stuff, and you've had a good ride. We don't know where the bottom is, okay? Let's just wait.
Well,
as you know, we had a mini crash 2 years later. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Also, we had a mini crash in 89.
Well, that was caused by United Airlines?
I forget what caused that one.
But
remember, almost two years to the day, we had another small drop, or it was no 22% on S&P, as a percentage. Percentage-wise, it was a mini crash. But that all started on currency wars.
Well, my serious concern, I'm always concerned, but then again, that's my job, for my clients.
You should be. But, I got a friend here that tells me you're too conservative. I said, it's not conservative, it's a risk management. It has nothing to do with aggressive or conservative. It's risk management.
Right. I honestly think my view of 2007, 2008 onward is we've never really come out of that, in a sense that the debt is
balances
way bigger.
Have not, sure.
The debt is way bigger. You've had some asset prices that are up, but the income of individual people is not up so much, and individual savings is not up so much. You're going to get general wealth is up if you include the stock market and stuff that the 1%er people own.
Uh-huh.
Yachts are up, cars are up, that type of thing. Collector cars, that sort of thing. But I think Trump's view of the economy is everything's perfect.
Well, he doesn't understand how to process that.
But what I'm saying is I think we are
if you listen, he's saying that we're collecting all these tariffs, and the numbers came out yesterday, it was only $36 billion since inception, and that's just an indirect tax.
Sure, it's just a tax. Well, what I'm saying, Farhi, I think the world is, I've read in the last 2 weeks, why I read this stuff, I have no idea. I didn't realize that 6 months ago when a Chinese bank imploded and they're in process of bailing them out. And another one is kind of on the way.
Right.
And China has obviously $3 trillion of dollar-denominated debt. People in this country or other people, but they're in dollars. And they have something like $8 or $9 trillion or whatever, and or is it, there's $12 trillion of dollar denominated debt around the world, $3 trillion of it from China. I'm sure they must have some euro denominated debt as well. So,
yeah,
the fabric to me is very fragile, and if you ignore that and pick a fight and cause somebody to go over the top, to where five Chinese banks go down and all of a sudden, you know, a trillion of that money becomes non-performing. There's people hurt all over the place. Now, whether they, I mean, I don't see these farmers ever coming back, especially.
No. Listen. Here's a game plan, in my opinion.
Well, some people are going to own those farms 2 years from now, other than people
that
own them.
I realize that. Here's the thing. Our big strategic competitor, okay, not a partner, part competitor, is China.
Yeah, sure.
And they're not going to get into a military fight with us. They're too smart. Because they have a good thing. It's called a good economy. 6% GDP growth, that's not bad. Compared to the past, yes, I understand that, but still. So they got to break this out. They got zillions of, remember, it's a yellow race. I don't want to sound like fascist, but maybe I am. But these guys, when we did a study at Northrop, I've said this before, they came out on top. It was the Asians, then came the whites, then came the Hispanics, and then came with African Americans. In terms of promotions, dollar additions, ranking, all that, over a very large, you know, 100,000 plus number of employees, okay, from there. All inside, mainly scientific area in pursuit of their aircraft to build and systems. So we did that. These guys, and the Politburo is run by a bunch of engineers. They don't have to respond, they don't have a political system to scrutinize them like a CNN or a Fox Business or you know, CNBC. They control everything. They control the media. So they're going to sit back and relax. They figured this out, that they always probably thought, and they have so much think tanks watching U.S. Some of them, they graduate from here and went back and run these think tanks. So they sit back and say, we all knew all this long that Grumpino is a self-destruct mode. Just give him some rope. And the event of last week, and the bond portfolio they already have. And that's the question I was going to ask for you. Because my brother was asking me that. I didn't know. They're just going to not buy anything new. They're going to roll off the existing portfolio. And they're going to go tit for tat a little bit and play along. And they're propping up Korea and possibly even Iran to keep us engaged and busy and kind of miss the vote. And they realize something. Here's my thing. Trump, let's grant something to Trump that's fair, okay? Let's give him credit where it's due. He's a tough negotiator, at least on this issue. And emotionally, at least. Not detailed. He's not a detailed guy. At least, but he's trying to feed the red meat to his base. He's acting with, you know, very tough negotiating tactics. China doesn't want to deal with that. They didn't get here overnight. This was 20 years. They're going to give it back. They're just going to sit him out.
Well,
if you look at any numbers, mathematically, right now, without even the other 11 or 12 investigations coming in, finito. There is no mathematical solution to, his boss, Putin, comes in and helps him, like last time. It's not going to go there. And with what happened over the weekend. So we are done. So I think the economy is going to drop, and that's it.
These are incredibly difficult. I mean, God, I've been on the air with Maddie for a long time. 100 times I've explained that in my opinion, and you know, from my education background, is these are incredibly difficult decisions to make. I said, everybody knows. For my cousin going over there and then wanting to buy one piece of every kind of his mining equipment, he told him basically pound sand. Everybody knows that they redid every Beatle album without paying the Beatles, the royalties. Everybody knows that there's 90 bazillion computers over in China, and they got 4 copies of Microsoft, right?
Yes.
and they ran the rest off. Everybody knows this stuff. I mean, it's happened, but when you have people like that, like anybody, unless it's somebody you really care about, a friend or a family member, and even they can be a little wobbly, nobody's perfect. And you deal with the What was the one where Danny DeVito said of John Voight? He goes, how can he be your friend? He goes, when somebody's your friend, you got to take the good with the bad. Yeah. Or the bad with the good. I've never once.
And don't forget ugly.
Yeah, but I never once have given an olive branch to the Chinese. Because I saw one of them stick something in the back of a computer in our office, for God's sake, when they were the guests of the agriculture department trying to steal whatever was right in the computer. So, but I get it. But I also know if you're in the Oval Office and you've got a mindset about you, you're going to get Bill Gates walking in and say, this is bull. These guys stole all my, Microsoft Office, blah, 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 blah. You got to do something with these guys. You got to drop a bomb on them and off you go. Next guy walks in and some Coca-Cola. Hey, I tell you, I got a billion people over there sipping a Coke a day. This is great. I mean, it's never even, Farhan. Yes. What's good for somebody is not good for somebody else. I mean, they got more Kentucky Fighters, more pictures over there of Colonel Sanders than there are a mile. I mean, so is it? But I don't see where this is. What I've said this 100 times, and you know, hopefully I get bored with it. I don't see the end game to this intellectual rights stuff. Are we actually going to try and put in a piece of paper that you can't ask for somebody's drawings, that you can't buy a company here in the U.S. and then actually look at their vault and see what the stuff is you just bought? I mean, what are we trying to get here? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they printed a piece of paper that said, this is the treaty we want. Why don't we just say, you can't buy a company here unless the company...
Exactly. That's what my point. Yeah, you can't buy some and say, I don't get the pieces.
Right. Why don't we just say,
So if you have a strategic issue, okay, I think there's a court for the approval for that cycle. You go through that because I forget that it's the switching investment from a foreign good entity. You just in those you name out certain industries off limits. Don't even entertain an M&A discussion.
Well, I mean, I've talked to actually two ladies in the last 2 days. I mean, I don't talk to ladies. They both said to me, "What, you don't want our president going after China for them stealing our stuff?" Well, yeah, I don't think anybody should steal anybody's stuff.
Exactly.
But it's.
I mean, listen, stealing even what do you call it? IRA, the Internet Agency in St. Petersburg, stealing Podesta's emails and other people, or hacking, those are illegal. Okay, I'm a Republican. I was good for me to read what they were saying, but you know what? I was reading stolen material.
How many people, Farhan, if you were to go back in the top 1,000 inventions in this country in the last 200 years, how many of them do you suppose? And this is not, please do not take this as a moral relativism thing or any excuse for the Chinese stealing something. I am against anybody stealing anything. If you go back to the last 1,000 big inventions in this country, how many of them do you think are being produced by somebody who didn't design them? I'm going to say half.
Oh yeah. No. Absolutely.
Stealing other people's stuff is a national sport here. It's a national sport everywhere. That's why, I mean, I was working with this group that had a serious scientific machine. Uh-huh. And I said, dumb old me, I go, you guys have a patent on this? Why would we want a patent? Well, because isn't that what people do? I can be naive just like the next person. They go, you got to go to the patent office. You got to tell them you got something. You got to give them your drawings. What makes you think that's not all going to leak? Well, yeah. If you want to keep something secret, you never get a patent. The only place you get a patent is if you're a big enough drug firm to where you can police it yourself and you can make $90 bazillion on it because insurance is paying for it. Otherwise, you steal everybody else's patent and you have a huge room full of them. And every time somebody does something, you say that was my patent, and you sue them. I mean, you ever think the patent laws have been a net positive here?
I don't know. That's a good question. Beyond my pay grade.
Well, I mean, beyond mine too, but yes. Do we want the Chinese stealing our stuff? No.
No.
Do we want Boeing to have the capability of saying, if you guys buy 500 planes, you get to make the tail, and oh, by the way, we'll give you the drawings of the rest of them, knock yourself out. You'll never be able to make one.
Okay, by the way, this is what I was talking about. It's fierce, I guess. Committee on Foreign Investments in the U.S. It's run out of the State Department. You could go there and say, these industries, you can't touch. Certain oil and gas stuff, okay? Obviously, defense, telecommunications, you guys can come in. Period. And you know what? And shame on those entrepreneurs here to sell in to a perceived foreign adversary who has shown their hand both militarily, somewhat, China's small, but economically, to the opposite.
Sorry, you only got 10 seconds.
Why are these entrepreneurs cashing out? Why? They need to have two Lambos?
Yeah, let's continue this next week, buddy. Take care of yourself. Feel better.
We'll talk.
SP Futures up 775. SP Futures up 33. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. You've just met over on the board. Sir Jack Silverman with him. Hey, Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 an issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. I don't see any reason why anybody would not do that. S&P futures up 10.50. NASDAQ futures up 40. Plus, we have Jeff Joseph in every Tuesday, and remarkable guest, brings some interesting stuff. And the magazine is on the cutting edge, and I wish I would have invented the weighed down blanket. Not because I think it's a spectacular idea, but it seems to be selling. So
supposedly, yeah, it reduces anxiety and depression and all kinds of stuff. Based on big surveys they've done, people that sleep in these weighted blankets. I don't know how or why.
Why don't you just get like a big old wool thing and those heavy bedspreads the old ladies used to have, and that was heavy enough. Maybe that's why they were stressed.
I agree. I think those would work just as well.
What about your dog leaning up against you?
Be pretty hot.
Well, in the wintertime, yeah, it would be pretty hot. A little mud of Maggie's. Maggie's a little thing, but she's like a little oven. Anyway, imagine your guy. So just so everybody knows, Maddie's dog comes down and looks at me and checks me out like every hour, but then he won't come in. He just dashes upstairs. He's the oddest guy. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 99 now. It's moving up more than they were earlier. 0.8% FTSE, which was flat earlier, is up 20, so it's 0.2%. CAC around up 66, that's 1.3. So we're having a general rally here this morning. Nikkei up 76.4%. Shanghai up 25, that's almost a full percent. Hang Seng up 123.5%. Oil up $1, 52.10. Brent up 70 cents, 56.93. Gold down for the first time in a while, but still over 1,500, 1,509. And bonds, which had been a big turn yesterday, I think we might have got under 1.6 or certainly 1.65 on its 10-year yield. We came back, we're back to 173, which is still real low. But the news outside of just the averages are that China has pegged their yuan, but over 7, which is what we were fighting about the other day. So the number really hasn't gotten any better, which is sort of bizarre. Now we have Disney, after being down $7 yesterday, upgraded today. So they're trading up $1.60, and we've got Caterpillar. It was downgraded mainly because of Chinese issues, is trading down $1.30. So other than that, things are pretty positive this morning. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash on the outbound Eisenhower at Mannheim Road that's causing some delays. Old post office to Mannheim is up to 40 minutes now to Route 390, 57 minutes and building due to that crash on the outbound side. So keep that in mind if you're heading out to the western suburbs via I-290. On the south side, there's a crash on the Bishop Ford on the inbound side at 154th Street. That's causing some congestion, but no issues coming in on the Ryan or I-57. Traffic building on the Stevenson, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Also, that earlier crash on northbound Lakeshore Drive at the Oak Street curve is all clear, so that's good news. Off the expressways, north side, Fullerton and Southport, there is a crash. It's actually Fullerton and Greenview, one block off of Southport there, and that's causing a bit of congestion on the north side. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, warm temperatures, a high of 86. Right now it's crystal clear and 73 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 107 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 86. In sports, Cubs finished their homestand at 5-1. They blew out the A's yesterday afternoon 10-1. Cubs are now 3 games up on the Brewers, 3.5 up on the Cardinals, who have dropped 5 in a row. They were swept by the Dodgers after they were swept by the A's. So the Cardinals took 2 of 3 from the Cubs, went out west, and had an 0-5 road trip.
It's easy to do with those two teams.
Absolutely. By the way, the Cubs claimed veteran catcher, former All-Star Jonathan Lucroy from the Angels to help fill their catcher gap with Caratini slightly banged up and with Contreras on the injured list for the next 4 weeks. White Sox won 3 of 4 in Detroit. They took care of the Tigers 8-1 yesterday. Sox are playing pretty good ball of late. Diamondbacks are back in the wild card picture, just a game and a half out. They took care of the Phillies 6-1. Diamondbacks playing good ball as well. Lastly, as we touched on a bit earlier, the Bears preseason begins tonight at home, Soldier Field, 7 p.m. kickoff. It will be the Bears versus the Carolina Panthers. Chief.
You would never have guessed a couple of months ago where at least one of the wild card would have come out of the Cubs division. Now it looks like it almost could be the Diamondbacks and the Mets.
Yeah, it's very possible that the Central all of a sudden would have no wild cards. Right now, Milwaukee would be in. The Cardinals would be on the outside looking in. But yeah, both teams not playing great in the second half and could very easily miss the playoffs altogether, which would be fine by me.
Well, a lot of these teams, they're all tough. I mean, I was watching this Yankee team beat up on... do we have David?
We do.
I'm here.
Hey, David.
One thing I will say is, you know, the thing about the NL Central that is a little bit tougher is that there is no bad team.
Right.
So while the Yankees get to beat up on the Orioles 20 times a year and the, you know, Mets and Phillies and Braves get to beat up on the Marlins 20 times a year, the Reds are basically 500 and in the wild card race, and that's the worst team in the NL Central.
And Pittsburgh is not bad.
And Pittsburgh has really struggled in the second half, and they've actually become the worst team in the NL Central. But in the first half, they were at 500. And then they've, you know, lost some guys, and they've struggled here in the second half. But I think that's a big part of it is, you know, you don't get a beat on, you know, even in the Twins in the AL Central, the Tigers are 33-78. They're 45 games below 500, and Kansas City is slightly above that, 41-74. So that's two teams you play 40 times that you get to just beat up on, which makes a big difference.
What are we up to? What are they up to in games you play your division? It was 17 forever. Now is it
19? Isn't it?
It's 19.
Now it's 19.
Yep.
Wow, that's I think that's actually too many. But
yeah, so you're playing. You know, if you're the Twins, you get to play the Tigers, the Royals, and the White Sox, who are all well below 500, you get to play those teams, 57 times in a season?
That's a lot.
That'll build your win-loss total.
Have you ever seen, I'm sure there has been, you follow this more than me, the stats. One year, I forget the last year, but without losing a whole lot of people, the turnaround on this Boston team is just remarkable. They got off to a bad start, and I don't know if they're pointing fingers at people in the dugout or whatever, but they're not even close to being the same team as last year, and they got all the same
pitching
guys.
Pitching got older. I mean, they're still, I think, number one or number two in the American League in runs scored. It's just their pitching is not holding.
Maybe,
David's right. They're still scoring a ton of runs. In fact, they've scored 661 runs, which puts them at tied for second place in all of baseball.
I told you. Yeah. I told you. It's the pitching is not holding. Yeah. And even though they haven't been that good, they still have a net positive run differential.
Yeah, and they're four games above 500, which isn't terrible, but it's not good enough to make the playoffs as it stands right now.
No.
Well, it's almost like Duff fans, as ignorant or smart as they are, it could be either, have demanded these incredibly long playoff runs, really in both, I'm going to say, hockey and baseball, to where your serious pitching on these good teams, they're five six starts after the season, they're high intensity starts.
Yeah, and then it really kills your bullpen too. That's why it's very rare. I mean, we haven't seen a repeat in baseball in 20 some years since the Yankees did it in the 90s. We saw it with the Cubs in 2016. Now, they were able to have a good second half and get back and win the division again, which the Red Sox are not going to do. But it really kills your bullpen when you play that late into the season, those high-intensity, you know.
Well, I seem to recall, and you, again, Matty, correct me, but they felt, Francona writes the coach. Who's the Boston manager?
Alex Cora.
Alex Cora, that's right.
Yeah. Francona was the guy in the early 2000s. Yeah, he was in Cleveland.
I'm going to say that Sales didn't have, if he had one start in spring training or two, I'd be stunned. He gave those guys basically the first half of spring training off. The guys that he thought really went deep into the thing last year. You know, into the World Series and had all those starts. And he essentially took the chance that those guys could essentially were, they would still have a good enough team to win while those guys essentially had their spring training in May. And they just got far enough behind the Yankees where it just hasn't worked. And I'm not so sure it was the wrong thing to do. Sometimes you can make the right decision and it's what they say. You can make the proper decision and it could be the wrong decision. And I'm thinking in that division he maybe couldn't have done that. Or I think those guys, you know, you see it in basketball and in hockey. I mean, how many games does Scottie Pippen play more than anybody else over his career?
Oh, yeah. It wears on you. Chris Sale, by the way, is not having a good year, as you pointed out. Yep. He has a 4.68 ERA. Rick Porcello, another guy who is a really good starting pitcher for them, is even worse, 5.5 ERA. And David Price, who they're paying like $30 million a year, has a 4.5 ERA. So their three best starting pitchers are really having bad years all at once, and that kills.
Well, I'm going to say that
pitching got old.
Yep.
Well, up until the last 2 years, I would say that Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews had a solid, they were like 2 years older than anybody else of their age in hockey, because they went to the finals like every year, or darn near, right?
A lot of minutes, yep. A lot of ice time on those guys.
And, it wears on you. I mean, I think.
And Olympics and the like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I mean, even in football, I mean, you see, look at the difference. The Bears, they were good last year, obviously. The year before, not so much. But look at the difference. I'm going to say they had 15 to 17 people on the disabled list the last three, four useless games of the year, half of which, if they were still in it, would have played and probably would have played at least one or two. The wear and tear on your body when you get to essentially have a crap team and you're a good player and you get to, I won't say feign an injury because everybody's hurt by that time of the year. You get to say take the last 3 weeks off if you're good enough. The difference between that year on your body and a year when you go three games playoff deep, it's got to be like night and day. It has to be. Because it's not like anybody's not hurt at the 16th week or banged up or something.
No question.
I mean, it's just all right, David, I got to ask you, buddy. This market this week has been one of the wildest I've seen. I mean, it's certainly not as wild as 87 or a couple other times, but pretty darn wild. We've had nothing but news. We've had a market crash based on the yuan being over $7, and the market couldn't handle it. And then we went back and forth, and now we've had this huge recovery. And guess what? The new pin price is over $7. It's the same spot as when we crashed. And yet now today we're okay.
Not $7, $7 to the dollar.
$7 to the dollar. And so we're right back where we started for when we were all pissed off, and now we're okay with it. I mean, just saying.
Well, maybe there's a recognition. I mentioned this, and I did some recalculation. But, you know, I really think, I mean, the effort as far as peg rate, middle of the range and whatever, was supportive when they made the move, you know, late Monday, early Tuesday, the Chinese, you know, on the yuan / renminbi. But, you know, and they actually even slightly decoupled the Hong Kong dollar to the U.S. dollar, which that quote-unquote peg has been in effect for like more than 35 years.
Oh, yeah, it's been around forever.
But really, they just kind of realigned the Hong Kong dollar to the yuan, which they have to do for commerce. I honestly believe, yes, they made the thing, you know, where this should allow capital to inflow, or if nothing else, capital not to outflow from China. So, you know, obviously they're out for their own good. Why wouldn't they be? But it also kind of was a move to put, you know, multiple exchange rates in line.
David, it's, I don't know, I've been kind of ranting.
And I don't want to give them credit, but that's really, if nothing else, the effect of it.
Well, they come to the same school as we do, and we boot our people out so they can get in because they pay more. So it's not like they don't know anything, right?
Right.
But it is, I'm you know, this has been my theme this morning, and I know maybe people are getting insulted, but it shouldn't be. But when you have people's estimation of how much the general populace knows about international currency flows, the first person to accuse the other person of currency finagling wins. Even if you're a president that comes out and says the Federal Reserve has to cut a half a percent because I want the dollar down, and then the next day accuses somebody else of manipulating their currency, and people don't put two and two together. Fact is, everybody wants to do it. The only reason why you don't do it is, Tim Lu said yesterday, if everybody does it, you don't get anywhere. And it just screws everything up. So every time people start to do it, and it starts to, he says, that's when you have to sit down and say, look it. I read articles in my history of economic thought class in college back in the 1600s when mercantile people would devalue their dollar. Finally, two, three countries would do it, and they'd all get together and say, all right, this isn't getting us anywhere to stop it. Because it is absolutely a zero-sum game. But now, in the last week, with us and three people yesterday, we have four places that are essentially devaluing their currency by lowering their interest rates and pouring more money in, correct?
Right.
And now the Chinese are the fifth that we're accusing them of. And yet last night I talked to four people. Well, they're manipulating their currency. We can't put up with that. Well, what about us? What do you mean, what about us? Well, we just lowered our interest rates. Well, that's not the same thing. Yeah, it is.
You know. And really, again, I don't put a whole lot of stock in talking heads, but traditionally, I would say that of those that comment on the dollar index and other exchange rates, I would say 7 out of 10 of the pundits in the media say that we're the biggest currency manipulator on earth, beyond China.
Yeah, but again, I'm not one of these, you know, libertarian sort of dudes at all. We're the ones at fault when somebody kills 12 people. If I'd have fed him more for dinner when he was in third grade, you know, he wouldn't have shot those people, and it's my fault. I've never been one of those guys. I'm just saying, let's call this what it is. I mean, every country is trying to gain advantage here. And Tim Lu was on yesterday, and again, I always kind of liked him as his Treasury Secretary, even though I don't like a lot of Obama's people. He said, this is out of control. We need to sit everybody down and say, if we all do it together, nobody gains. So what's the point? I mean, where does it go? I mean, can you imagine a world, I asked Fari this, imagine a world, David, if we listen to the people yesterday, the Fed has to act because other people are acting, even if it's not a good idea. Can you imagine a world where 2 years from now, you and I are sitting here doing the show, and let's see, our interest rates are, I'll say, 0.25%. Germany is -1. Japan is -5. I'm shipping the Suburban off to Draghi so he can buy it.
I don't know if Draghi will still be there.
Well, but I'm saying, I mean, they're going to start buying up this. They're going to buy up stock. The Federal Reserve's buying up stock because the other guys are. But does anybody think that that's a world that's going to be good? I mean, the end game is just not good. It's like if we keep going this way, the end game is a cliff. I mean, it can't go much further. We're at the edge of this one, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, am I making sense? If we take this,
yeah, no, I get it. And even the bulls, I mean, you know, say that, you know, the bulls will say, hey, this is a worldwide phenomena, and we're not close to recession, and this and that and the other, but the end will not be pretty.
I listened to three people yesterday who should know better. All three of them happen to be women. It doesn't make any difference because the guys would have said the same dumb thing. They're absolutely convinced that the people, middle-class people, their interest rates are going down when this happens. Now, mortgages, yes. Anywhere else? I've gotten 5 credit card applications in the last week. I don't know what these guys, must be a big push. Every one of them was, depending on your credit rating, between 22 and 25%. What the hell, David? You think it's filtering down to us? I'm thinking no.
Although, and you know, in general, I do agree with you, but, you know, like my partner shopped around, you know, and without CDs, you know, as long as she keeps, you know, $50,000, you know, around, I mean, brokerage firms, banks, you know, whatever, money market, I mean, not big banks, not, and I'll divulge, not Chase or whatever, but like Fifth Third and the like, and others, even some brokerage firms. You know, if you maintain cash balances of $50,000, they're paying 2 to 2.2%, which is hard to believe.
All right, so at the risk of accusing you of being a one percenter, what percentage of all the checking accounts in this country have $50,000 in them?
Not many.
I'm going to say that at the big banks, because that's why I left Harris. Because I had
the biggest banks, they're still paying a tenth.
Well, I had one of my accounts. I dropped below $5,000, and I got a $15 bill for the month.
Sure.
Now I'm going to say that I'm going to take a stab at this. I have no. You tell me how far I'm wrong here. I'm going to say that 65% of all checking accounts in this country do not have over $5,000 in it.
Oh, it's probably more than that.
You think it's more like 75?
So, yeah.
So we're talking
maybe
about
even 80. I mean, how many? I mean, what did they say?
So 80%
more than half the people don't have, you know, $4,000 for emergency money put away.
So
if they don't have $4,000 to their name in the actual liquid cash, the checking accounts have to be, you know, very, very small.
So if
percentage.
So those people have negative interest rates on their savings, and they've got 25% interest on their borrowings.
No, I get it.
Could we possibly screw them anymore?
And, I mean, if you look at the consumer, nobody looks at consumer credit card numbers except those invested in PayPal, MasterCard, or Visa. But, I mean, you're talking about rises monthly, 12 to 16 billion a month.
5 years ago, David, in this same account, before I maneuvered stuff around and I had over $100,000 in there. Again, it was a while ago, so I'm not talking about being a 1% or anything. And I didn't get a 1099 from them, right? And I'm thinking, what's with these idiots? What? So I call them up and I said, how come I didn't get a 1099? Guess what they told me?
He only made 4 cents all year.
We don't have to send it if your interest is under a buck.
That's pretty insulting. I told you I had a $5,000 piece at Chase Money Market with my ex-wife that I forgot about. It's got to be 20 years old. And, you know, I finally found it, you know, as we were dividing assets and literally put in $5,000 20 years ago. It's up to $5,102 and $100 in 20 years.
Well, I mean, so the same account, I made less than a dollar with over $100 for them the 1 year I had it, and like I said, and
I guess I should be fortunate. I made $5 a year.
So 1 month I had less than $5,000, and I had to pay them $14.
And I'm laughing not at you. I'm crying inside.
I know, but why don't the talking heads get this of how much this is screwing regular America? By the way, did you say you forgot about the ex-wife or forgot about the account?
I forgot about. No, my pocketbook has to remember her.
Oh yeah, I was saying it's pretty hard to forget about an ex-wife. I think the. All right, so is the all clear here? Now that we've declared over seven a good number.
No,
for?
I mean we still got 706, yuan to the dollar, and there's no prospect for any kind of breakthrough. I mean, other than supposedly they're going to meet again, next month, but increase in tariffs on other 300 to 350 billion September 1st, unless something at all gets resolved, or they buy soybeans or natural gas. So no, I mean it's in the season that we're in, end of August, September's the worst average month of the year. First half of October, not far behind. So we're in a negative seasonal pattern, and all I advised on Monday was take the huge break on Monday and cover shorts, which at least so far has been a good idea. And I wouldn't be quick to put out shorts, but anywhere S&P around 29.25, 29.5, about halfway back to the highs, I would certainly rehedge accounts. And some shorts on a speculative basis, small amount, I think is warranted.
I think the market
can rebound further, but not that much.
See if you agree with me on this. If, and that's many ifs, turns out this week is kind of a turning point, and we actually do go down, which right now today doesn't look like I'm right with that. You know what's interesting about this week, David? And see if I'm nuts, but it's the first time in 10 years that I've heard anybody say the interest rates going down might actually be a bad thing, not a good thing. First time
there've
I've
been
heard
a
that.
Few people.
Yeah, not very many. The first time that there's a hint of if we get back to 1%, it's not a sign of good times, it's a sign of bad times.
Yeah, and I mean you don't have to look far. You look at Germany, you look at Japan, China, whatever.
Talk to you on Monday. We got a day.
And the markets go down.
S&P futures up 12.50 now. It's highest we've seen it this morning. And the Nasdaq futures up 38. Let the rally begin. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.